Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's third down and 4. Rodgers in trouble. Flag down, and so is Rodgers at the 30. Bosa was the first guy there, and Leonard Floyd cleaned up.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Nothing like it, man. This is nothing like it. There's nothing like being at an NFL game, especially on a Monday night. I know all the belly aching about Levi Stadium through the years. The Niners are well aware of it, too. I will say this. When the sun goes down, that is a beautiful place.
Beautiful. No doubt.
It's tough sometimes when the sun's not down yet.
Well, I was looking across because I'm on the other side. Yep. And I would say about 2/3 full, the upper deck of the sunny deck. Side. And I kept waiting for the late arrivers to make it in and get in there and get up there. And it eventually got about 3/4 full. It never got totally full. And I get it. It's warm up there and it's glary. You were on that side, too.
I was on that side. We weren't in the top tank, but we were on that side. And yeah. And yeah. Lovely Christy. I had hat head. I had to give her my hat for part of it.
Okay.
It was bright.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's okay. I'm going to be the man here, and we're going to go with hat head. It's okay.
You can do it. What a sacrifice.
Thank you.
Man.
Thank you. That's just the kind of person I am.
Chivalry is not dead in the Willard household. I, of course, would never give up my hat, considering I have no hair.
Correct. You would get cancer.
Yeah.
So we don't
there you have it.
It's not worth it. So, anyway. But, gosh, that was just a wonderful, wonderful experience, man. And I do think it was, and I won't say volume, it was a volume.
Yeah. Well, I thought earlier you were talking about a volume. Volume game, like that game, the statement they made was a loud statement.
It was.
Of all the distractions, all of the offseason shenanigans with hold-ins and hold-outs and the terrible thing that happened to Ricky Pearsall and all the rest of it, CMC and Achilles Gate, and you finally get to the kick. Is this stuff going to detract from, oh, never mind. No, it's not. This team is awesome on offense. They're ferocious on defense. Their second-year kicker went 6-for-6, and you've got maybe the best coach in football. So what more do you want out of a Niner team? That was a complete butt-kicking.
Trent Williams on exactly what you're talking about, shrugging off the odd offseason.
We got great leaders in this locker room, and we got people who follow the leaders, and you know, we got leaders that echo what the coaches are preaching, and so I think that's the reason our locker room is able to stay focused.
You want to hear Nick Bosa answer the same question?
I think I'd like that.
Our ownership really takes care of us, and you have to when you have really good players, and we have really good players at every position. And when guys aren't there, I mean, we have their back. We know that when they get back, they're going to work their butts off. So it doesn't change. When they're not here, we're working, and when they come, we're working. So
I tell you what, I think that the way he started that comment, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. Just think about it now.
The ownership really takes care of us.
Oh, Jed York. Think of where the York name was 8 years ago.
Man. laughingstock.
Think of how you Niner fans felt about that name. It's complicated, right, Denise and Eddie? It's complicated.
Denise's husband.
How we got here, but think about how you felt about John and Jed 8 or 9 years ago. And now here
not
is...
Not good, Bob.
No, thank you. Not great! And then here's Nick. Just listen again to the start of this comment.
Our ownership really takes care of us, and you have to when you have really good players, and we have really good players at every position. And when guys aren't there, I mean, we have their back. We know that when they get back, they're going to work their butts off. So it doesn't change. When they're not here, we're working, and when they come, we're working. So,
okay.
There you go.
Our ownership, takes
really good care of us.
And you have to when you have really good players, and we have really good players.
And I think the message that is sent from the Christian restructure, the Trent, here, have some more, the Debo restructure, and the Brandon Ayuk contract is exactly what he's saying. It took a while, but eventually the ownership took care of the people that they need to take care of. And like Nick was just saying, when they're in, they'll come in and work, and while they're not here, we're working hard, and while they're not here, and then when everyone gets here, we're all working hard, and that's just the way it goes, the culture of it, you know?
888-957-9570, you're absolutely right. Like, so if there's any thought in, is there any lingering hard feelings? No. Maybe for fans.
Yeah, and fans will get over it, and sure, it's easy to get over the, I mean, what, Trent missed 2 snaps because he had to go get an IV. Wow. Yeah, he needs to come in shape. The guy played 98%, 97% of snaps.
And allowed how many pressures again, Dips?
Oh, I would probably say zero.
Z?
I don't think that Brock was touched. I'm looking at, let me look at QB hits, because I know that Nick had 2 QB hits on the day. They had 4 QB hits.
On Brock?
Yes.
4.
4 hits. That's it. They did have 3 sacks, but...
Normally you show up for treatment the day after a game. I wonder if Brock just stayed home.
Yeah, I wonder if he even showered after the game. I'm good. Just get right in the car. That's a little gross.
You're right into those sheets.
Yeah.
just wiggle in there, go to bed. Ace and Marin. Hi, Ace. Thanks for calling. What's good?
Fellas, how you doing?
So good.
Excellent. Glad to hear it. We've kind of already been through this, but I think it bears repeating. And I recognize that controversy is the lifeblood of sports talk radio. But there was a lot of trash talking of Brock Purdy towards in the last several weeks, several months, even on 95.7 The Game. And to my mind, he had an unbelievably fantastic statistical season. And I thought he was being disrespected. And he came out last night and he took care of his business. So, Dibs, he was better than fine. He was very good.
I mean, he was probably better than fine, but he was, whatever. I'm not going to parse words very good.
Just don't use the word fine. Don't worry. It's not okay. I'm with Ace. I'm not okay with the word fine. Thank you, Ace.
Ace, he was fine. He played fine. He played good football, and they won. That's all you can do.
Come on, man. It's his first career game without Christian McCaffrey. You got to give him something now.
And he had Jordan Mason running through Volkswagen-sized holes.
Okay.
Not to take anything away from Jordan Mason, but that game was called by a maestro. That thing was schemed up brilliantly. Everything they ran, for the most part, worked. And so he, and I won't say just had to make the throw, because I can't imagine how hard that is, but he was given a lot of time, a lot of movement, a lot of space to do what he did. He was wonderful.
There you go, Mark. There you go.
20 of 29 for 2.25.
There you go.
Best I've ever seen.
There you go.
You're fine.
And a dot to Brandon Ayuk that he dropped.
Probably thrown too hard.
For a 10. It's a really pretty throw.
It was unbelievable.
We'll play for you in a little bit.
Two-handed, right where it had to be. Plop!
I mean, I don't know how many of you watch or have heard the Manning cast, but Peyton Manning lost his cookies when Brandon Ayuk dropped that ball. Brock was tremendous. And all I would say is if you want to do that to Brock today, if you want to do the, well, he had all
I'm not doing anything to Brock.
No, not you. Anyone. Okay. Anyone. If you want to do the, well, scheme, holes, time, if you want to do that, then I will simply argue you will do that after every game for the rest of his life. Because I have ears too, and I have heard for 2.5 years now what would happen if he ever had to play without Christian. And then he did, and the Niners scored over 30 on opening night with 8 consecutive scoring drives. And if we then take that and go, well, Kyle and Holes and Tom, if we do that, you're simply never, and that's fine. I don't care what you think of the guy.
That's not true. Every game is different. Every game is individual. And when he leads the team back in a 6-minute drill against Green Bay, that is where I start to give him major kudos, because that was a jailbreak kind of drive, and he needed a touchdown, and he got it. So that's where you don't just default to scheme, Holes, Kyle, laminated play sheet. I do think last night was more about the scheme and the offensive line dominance than it was Jordan Mason and or Brock Purdy.
I'm not even talking about what the game was about. I'm talking about spotlighting Brock Purdy and the fact that last night offered another opportunity for people to look at him and say, well, now here's something you haven't done before. Remember, we used to do this every week. Well, you haven't gone on the road.
Exactly.
And now you haven't done it in the playoffs. And now you haven't done it from behind. And now you haven't. Well, okay, what was left at this point? Well, do it without Christian. There you go.
Yeah, wonderful.
There you go. Back to you. Like, what do you got now? What's left? And I'm not talking about you, not you.
I just don't think he has that much to prove, quote unquote.
But a lot of people do.
Yeah, and I
know. A lot of people do. You got to give me that. A lot of people do.
For sure. And that's probably a sentiment that will never go away, because some people just want to live in Haterville.
Yep.
And I'm not trying to be a hater, because he won the football game and they're 1-0. And that's all you can ask him to do is win football games, which is seemingly all he's ever done as a starter in the NFL. But I'm not going to sit here and fall over myself with praise.
Yeah, that's okay.
For a guy who's sitting 16th in the league in quarterback rating.
I mean, look, you know,
16th?
You know what I would say about your breakdown of Brock Purdy's night?
It was fine.
It's fine. It's fine.
Let's
go to Jonathan in the city. Hi, Jonathan. What's cooking?
Not much. You know, I've been listening all game long, and I heard a number of people call in and say, you got to send video to the league office because Nick Bosa is being held again. And I'm going to go in a different direction. Nick, you're going to have to learn the art of how not to get held. Come on, man. You actually stick them on your jersey before games? But it drives me crazy, man. A premier pass rusher is letting dudes put a leash on him like he's somebody's pet. I mean, dude, you gotta have to learn the swipe technique. Don't let him hold you, bro. Be slick. Because if the Niners are gonna win the Super Bowl, you need to get to the quarterback on the regular.
Yeah, Jonathan, with all love and respect, I could not disagree with your take any firmer than I do. I'd love for you to explain to another human being how you can set up a foot or less from a 330-pound human being and say, don't get held. Like, how the hell is that possible?
The swipe technique, obviously.
The punch and the chop also, Lucas. I'm glad you jumped in
I love that we're now telling Nick Bosa how to learn pass rushing technique, because he clearly doesn't know what to do.
Well, maybe a little bit more hand fighting and a little less slow dancing.
Nick was good last night. I already said it. Stop.
No.
You got it.
Sorry, Cheryl.
Cheryl was in the building last night. You got to stop.
Oh, yikes.
Hi, Cheryl. You have to stop assessing Nick solely on sacks.
Yeah, I am with you.
Let's look at his pressures. Look at the way he's affecting a football game.
That's a sack-a-rooney, baby.
Yeah, or not. Or a pressure-rooney. I want some pressure Roonies. He was good last night. The pass rush was good, and it starts with Nick Bosa.
Yeah, the pressure Rooney is what led to the only sack, a sack of Rooney of the game, and that was Leonard Floyd. That was a Bosa pressure, and Rodgers shuttled out to the right, and Floyd came in and cleaned it up. Those two probably would have met at the quarterback had Rodgers not rolled to the right, but that was a total pressure Rooney from Bosa. So I'm with you. It's not just looking at the sack numbers. The team had one sack last night.
One sack, but so what?
The defense, didn't it feel like that they were haranguing him constantly?
It did. The reason they only had one sack is because you have a future Hall of Fame quarterback that knew, I'm going to throw the ball on a three-step drop. Most of them are going to be incomplete. Some of them will bounce off of Breece Hall's hands.
Oh, boy, that's awkward.
Some of them will bounce off of D'Amador Lenore's arms. Like, Aaron Rodgers was totally disrupted the whole night. So you get one sack. Who cares?
Exactly.
You did your job.
He had one drive where he just went down the field on you, and it was a ton of Garrett Wilson. And what did the Niners do? They adjusted because they were playing pretty soft in the zone on that drive. And Wilson on my fantasy team, Dibberclaws 1-0, shot him out.
Good for you.
He was boop, boop, boop. But other than that, the defense adjusted, and Rodgers had nothing the rest of the way.
I mean, the only thing he had, obviously, was the broken play, the touchdown to Lazard, where you had, and I can't remember who was the pass rusher who jumped offsides.
It was Floyd.
Floyd jumps offsides, and I really think some of the defenders kind of stopped. Like, it looked like they were going to blow the play dead, and so Lazard runs right by everybody, and Aaron still has incredible arm talent. That was an absolute dot.
Yep.
That throw was so quick. And so, sure, that's the one play. But, yeah, there were no drives. You weren't going on a drive on this team after that.
Grandy, actually, last night in overtime with Sterling and Kyle Madsen, advocating violence on that play.
Really?
Saying when Floyd jumps offside, just keep going and light up the quarterback.
Yeah, my least favorite thing is when the player jumps offside, the ball then gets snapped when he's offside, and he's just like, oh, well, I already messed up. No, still go and try to tackle him. Like, the penalty already happened. The only thing you're doing by not going after him is giving him a better chance of actually going downfield and hurting you even more.
I hear you, but don't you think they're a little flat-footed at that point? Like, you're backing up, and then the ball gets snapped.
He was, like, 4 yards offside. He was not getting back. Just keep running.
But he did. Then he went backwards. You try to get back, and then it's too late.
And now I'm just telling him, don't try to get back.
Yeah, I hear you,
but I mean... 5 yards. Don't give up the 35.
That ball was gone in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
Like, not gone in 60 seconds. It was gone in 2 seconds.
Another quarterback, though, a younger quarterback, you may be able to get back on sides, though. Not with Rodgers. He'll get you every time.
He's good at that.
You guys didn't watch the Monday Night Football broadcast because you guys were there.
Correct.
But they immediately brought out the statistic. Joe Buck and his producer, shout-out statistician or whatever, immediately said, oh, and that's Rodgers' 18th career free play touchdown pass, the most in NFL history.
That's interesting. He does well with that.
He is the best at that, no doubt. He does.
Yeah, he does. He will throw it to the end zone every single time. Yeah. He's very, very aware. He's smart. He's a great player. I think he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I like his chances.
One of these days.
Like his chances. But that just underscores what the Niners did so well defensively throughout the night is, you know, whether they played in the base defense, which is where Flanagan Fowles lives as a third linebacker, he played about a fourth of the snaps, or you stay in the nickel defense with the five guys in the secondary, which they did three quarters of the time. Didn't matter which package you had, they still couldn't really establish the run on you, and then it was just time to feast in the pass game.
Totally, yeah. I mean, again, we don't know exactly who the Jets are, but when I look at their personnel and what they're supposed to be, how can you not come out of last night feeling really optimistic? Okay? This is one of the top running backs in the game. This is a Hall of Fame quarterback. Yes, not as mobile as he used to be. They have one of the best wide receivers in the game. They have a revamped offensive line. They got dudes on the defense, and they've got a defensive head coach who we all know and respect. They brought all of that to their opener on Monday night and got totally and completely outclassed by a team that supposedly didn't have its best player.
Yeah, dominated.
Dude, if you woke up today going, well, that's a you thing. That's a you thing. Sure, we can find stuff. I didn't like the 17th play in the third quarter. Okay, that was awesome. That was awesome.
It was thorough.
Last night.
It was thorough. I mean, Rodgers leads them on the one drive to go up 7-3, and that's it. End of Aaron Rodgers' night as a productive quarterback.
Right.
And if you take away the 36-yard free play to Lazard, he threw for $130 in totality. And I know he sat for half of the fourth quarter, but he threw for 130 yards other than the free play TD to Lazard. That is total dominance of one of the all-time greats.
Complete, absolutely. Dustin in Martinez is next up. Hi, Dustin. Thank you for calling.
Hello. I'm a first-time caller, and I just have three quick points. I believe that everyone played extremely well for the Niners. I think Purdy played like a B-plus to an A-minus game. There were two plays I really did not like with Purdy, though. Play one was the sober play with like 3 minutes left in the third quarter on a 3rd-and-2. He throws it, hits the safety Adams, which the Adams might actually – catches it and takes it to a pick six. If we're saying that Ayuk should have catched it because it hits him in the hands, we have to say it the same way around.
Oh, I could. Really, Dustin, what were you? What?
The throw to Salbert into double coverage.
That was like, there was not a drop. That safety. Was no chance.
No,
that
by,
that
by
was
the safety, he's saying.
No, I know. But Dustin, if you're comparing that to Ayuk, the ball hit Ayuk in the chest. That throw to Salbert.
No, it didn't.
Yes, it
he
did.
He reached out as a diving catch.
Come on, man. You need some game tape, Dustin. No, it didn't. He dove, but the ball is tucked right into his belly. It is an absolute cradle catch. A $30 million receiver needs to make that. You're comparing that to a ball down the right seam that was out of reach for all three players. Was it a dicey throw? Slightly, but to say that that was a drop by a defender, Dustin, you're misassessing that play, in my opinion.
In PFF or any of the experts, they will call that as a drop, as an interception.
No chance.
But
no chance.
Purdy, the other play that I really, really didn't like, which was probably the worst play that I saw from Purdy, was he took a sack on a rollout with 3:05:06. It was a 3rd-and-2. He rolls out to the left. He then, instead of throwing it away, he drops on the ground. Again, I have Purdy on my fantasy football, so I'm rooting for him. But to take a sack instead of throwing out of bounds, he did the same thing in the preseason where he ran out of bounds instead of throwing it.
Yeah,
that's really bad.
This will shock you, Dustin. I'm going to wildly disagree with you again. Thanks for calling, because Purdy at that point knows he's in field goal range, and he is under duress between three defenders. And let me think, has Purdy ever experienced a time where he cocked his arm to throw, got hit by a defender, and something bad happened? I wonder if we can think of a time. So, what do you do in that situation? Dude, get down.
Clock runs.
Get down, keep the clock moving, and line up Jake Moody for his 800th field goal.
Yep.
Absolutely no harm, no foul. I'm sorry your fantasy team had to lose a half a point on the play. Absolutely nothing wrong on that. To me, that's field presence. That's something that Brock does really well. He understands the situation of the play. Take the safe thing. Your team doesn't lose anything for him falling down. Don't take a hit. Why would you take a hit? I don't agree with those assessments of Brock Purdy at all.
Well, you take the sack because then the clock runs. So you get sacked with 5:06 to go, and by the time Moody kicks the field goal, it's 4:24. So you eat another 40 seconds off the clock, and now you go up 19, and now it really is over.
Over.
If it wasn't over before at 29-13, you missed the field goal, quick TD, onside kick, they score again, we got overtime. Okay, that's a long shot with 4.5 minutes to go, but you settle for the three, you make the three, and it's officially night-night at 32-13.
Dude, don't take a hit if you don't. Like, this is an NFL
rule. Well, don't throw it away, because then the clock stops.
Yes, both of those things. Both of them. Do not cock your arm and let Kinlaw or Williams or somebody come take your arm off.
Yeah.
Just fall down. Fall down, take your 3 points, take another 30 seconds off the clock, and move on with your day. I mean, again, if we're nitpicking that stuff, even if you see it differently than you and I do, like, if that's your biggest problem with Brock Purdy last night, I'm sorry, you don't have a problem.
I think your biggest problem could be the fact that they had to settle for three and not get touchdowns. And, you know, down the road, sure, against good teams, you're going to need, against Mahomes, you're going to need touchdowns and not field goals. Well, last year in the Super Bowl, you made it into overtime with a lot of field goals, and so I don't necessarily think that's true, but in the moment, I look at a game where you score 8 consecutive possessions, and I'm not so worried about field goals versus touchdowns.
Well, especially when a touchdown pass was also dropped.
Yep.
You had another one called back. I know they ended up scoring on that drive anyway. You also had a 4th-and-1 inside the 5, where under other circumstances, likely scenario is you go for it. Likely scenario is you get it. Likely scenario is you got a good chance to punch that in. These aren't excuses. These are game flow decisions. And by the way, didn't we give every other NFL team in the league a little bit of leeway for it's week 1 and you're all trying to find your flow? And the Niners found it faster than almost any other team in the league, or they were at least right up there with all of the other teams in the league. Okay, Brockster's Millions. We'll explain what that is. We'll do that along with more of your phone calls at 888-957-9570. That's the number. Plus, Doc Feely joins us in a half hour with the real on the real in the Christian McCaffrey situation. All of that ahead. Willard and Dips.
Jennings got his contract extended. He does a little bit of everything for this team. Here's Mason. Hello, touchdown 49ers. A flag was thrown right at the...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
End of the play, and this is coming back. This was well downfield before Mason was getting into the end zone. It's first and goal. Debo, Jeff Sweet. He is in for the touchdown.
Now, back to Will and Dibby on 95.7 The Game.
I forgot how annoyed I get when things are amazing and people show up the next day to be like, but I forgot. And that's partially my bad. We're going to do this all year long.
I'm not insulting Brock Purdy.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And like the messages are all over the place. And I see a lot of you that are saying the opposite. Yes, awareness in that situation does mean, quote unquote, taking the sack.
Of course.
Of course. Like, of course. And by the way, if you actually remember the play, taking the sack did not involve taking a hit.
No.
He just laid down.
He just took the loss. 6-yard loss. And the kicker who hadn't missed, he had made 7 kicks in the game. And he came in and he made an 8th. 2 PATs and 6 field goals.
Y'all want to know what not aware it looks like? Go talk to the Los Angeles Rams, who are 0-1 and have the lead with a couple minutes to go in the fourth quarter. And their young star running back just boop, 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 just runs out of bounds so we can save a timeout for the other team, who then goes right down the field to send it to overtime so they can go right down the field again and beat you. That is how you lack awareness
exactly
in the NFL. And Brock Purdy has a tremendous level of it. And if you would like to hem and haw and pick and point and do all the things that people love to do, I'm sorry. I guess today's not your day. They're really, and we're going to do Grandy's Grades next hour.
I was looking forward to Grandy's Grades.
I bet there's not a damn thing on this entire field that you can get. This is my prediction now. I haven't seen them. I bet there's not a damn thing that you can give less than a B to.
For sure. I mean, even when you get down into the B, it feels a little like nitpicking, depending on which position group you're going to get into. I don't want to steal his thunder because Grandy does such a good job on our overtime show. And tonight with Kyle Madsen.
Yes, sir.
Football hour, 6 o'clock, 6 to 7. So it'll be more Grandy for my head, more Grandy in my day. So we'll look forward to the grades. And I don't think that you're right. Nobody should get anything even in the B range, quite frankly.
No.
It was a dominant performance in all facets.
Phenomenal opener.
Oh,
And I really hope it just calmed everybody down. That's what it should do.
Well, your
That's what
expression,
it did for me.
The expression you like to use is Ottoman game, where you put your feet on the Ottoman. And that game was an Ottoman game from the opening drive of the second half.
And I often use Ottoman game in gambling terms, and you got one last night.
Yep.
Fade to Dibbers. Fade to Dibbers is 1-2 now.
Yeah.
Because Dibbers is 2-1.
Grandy's not fading me when I bet on his team. So
it's different when it's the Niners.
And I can't help that I'm on a heater right now.
2 in a row is not a heater. You have to have at least 3 to even start talking about a streak.
I'm about to take off my hoodie here. It's getting warm up in here.
Number 3.
Yeah, you can't. No.
Thursday night.
2 is not a streak.
Thursday night lock coming up here.
Who's playing Thursday night?
Bills and Dolphins.
Oh, the Bills and Dolphins.
At Miami.
Right. That's right.
You got to lean one way,
Dibs? Oh, I sure do.
What's the number?
Let me check.
Yeah, check it out. I haven't even looked.
It's 3.5.
That was one of the things. Lovely Christy and I were driving home last night, and we start to, where are we going next? And I'm like, well, they're in Minnesota, and we're talking survivor pools and everything. She's like, who else is playing? I'm like, I have no idea.
Right?
I've been so locked into week one. I have no idea what the hell's going on in week two. What's the number,
Dolphins
Grady?
By 2.5.
Oh,
that, it is in Miami.
It's in Miami. That's kind of a fascinating line.
The Both Dolphins, teams eked out wins week one against worse teams.
Again, our perceptions. Yeah, the Bills always do that, though. But, you know, did the Bills, they eked out a win, but did they cover? What was their number against the Cardinals?
I think it was a push. In the pool I was in, there were three pushes this week.
Okay.
And that was one of them. I think it was 6 was the number.
And Miami, you know, had to come from behind, and they won by a field goal.
Yep.
But they were the better team. Their field goal kicker kind of muffed one earlier in the second half. Yep. And they took a minute to get going. And by the way, I'm going to give them a little nod for that. The whole team was freaking shook before the damn game. I don't want to go down this road because it's a Victory Monday, and I know where most of your heads are at today. But if you haven't watched the video of what the Miami-Dade police did to Tyreek Hill and a few of his teammates before the game on Sunday, it is yet another chapter in the absolutely awful book that is being written on a day in and day out basis against African Americans in this country. And I've always told you, I don't use this microphone to have anyone fired unless it's an absolute necessity. This is one of those moments.
Yeah.
Get the hell off the police force right now.
It's really disturbing.
Very disturbing. And so exasperating and frustrating. So I'm going to give the Dolphins a nod for the fact that their entire team was shook.
Yeah.
Before that football game, and took a half before they got themselves going. 888-957-9570. We'll do Brockster's Millions here in a couple minutes, but let's keep taking your calls. And Doc Feely with everything Christian McCaffrey related is in 20 minutes. Mike B. in Oakland. Hi, Mike. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Very long-time listener since Dibs is in the morning. First-time caller, though. I got one point, and I got one tangent. And Willard, you'll appreciate the tangent.
Okay.
So the point. I'm a native New Yorker. I live in the Bay. I'm a Jets fan. San Francisco 49ers fans need to chill out. This is an amazing team. You guys are incredibly grateful to be even having a conversation where Brock Purdy putting up 32 points and whether you should take a sack or not is a problem. I will say, however, that defense looks fantastic against Aaron Rodgers, who looks like he has a good offense. I'm not too sure about the Jets defense. That may be to be determined on getting an actual grade for 49ers, but they get all the credit this week. Now, the tangent. After the game, I have a 4-month-old. My wife wanted to watch some renovation shows. We turned on a show called Curb Appeal. And season 5, episode 3, it just happened to be the show that she wanted me to watch. Guess who I saw on my television?
I'll never
Dan
guess.
Dan Dibley with hair. There you go. It's Dan Dibley with hair. For starters, I didn't know he had hair. Number 2, I didn't know it was red. Number 3, if that's your house, you need to cut the grass, bro. I'll take any comments offline.
Okay. It's a fantastic story, and it's a great call.
Thank you, Mike. Call again.
That's got to be 13 years ago. I got my house on Curb Appeal. They came out, and $20,000 later, my lawn that was absolutely overgrown and shabby, on purpose, by the way, took it out and did drought resistant, redid the whole front, and we were on HGTV's Curb Appeal.
Wait, who paid the $20,000?
Curb Appeal.
I was going to say.
Curb Appeal.
To you or for
to the contractor?
To the contractor.
They come out and they say, hey, you know, we want you to be on the show. We did a video interview, and then about 8 months later, they said, yeah, we want to have you on this season.
Wait, but did they just knock on your door? Like,
no,
how did this happen?
It was during 2011 when I was underemployed.
Okay.
Actually, I'm sorry, 2014. I'd been let go by a local radio station after a show. March 11th, 2014. So I spent the next year.
It was a Dan day.
It was the day that everything added up. 3/11/14. I'll never forget it. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Whitey. Sorry, Crides. I call him every year on our fire diversary.
Yes.
And so I had free time. And so I was starting to poke around and think about what I could do. And I reached out and called Curb Appeal. They were looking for houses, and they were only doing it in the Bay Area. So I went online and read all the rules and criteria. And I said, I think I fit here. I think I fit. So I sent him an email, and they came out and did a video interview, and then they picked us. Boom. Free renovation, yeah.
Do you get anything for that? Like, they pay for that.
They pay for the renovation.
Do they pay for anything else?
No.
You don't get, like, a little...
No,
appearance fee or anything like that?
No. They do give you... okay. They hit you with a tax bill, and it turned out to be $21.5. It's like a 1099.
Okay.
So that goes down as income.
Got it.
So then you put that through the system, and you pay taxes on it, and, yeah, you got a brand-new front yard. It's pretty awesome.
Nice.
I'll send you a link. I'll see if we can post the link.
Yeah. I mean, I don't own, so it was 2014. I'm out. I don't own, but
yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, ask and you shall receive.
Yeah.
I sought it out. Beautiful. And they were taking applications, and so I applied. And
you're one of these people. You've been on a game show before.
Correct, yeah.
You've been on a reality show before.
I was in a full-length feature film with Robin Williams. You were in a
full-length feature film.
Yeah.
I think those are the big three.
The big three.
Yeah.
Yeah. And all of that comes from just showing up. Sometimes you just got to try.
And I've heard you on the radio before, too.
Well, that was hard work.
Yes, okay.
That was hard work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go to Chris in Dublin. Hi, Chris. What are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Just got home from work, actually. So I am happy. I kind of just wanted to provide, like, my own perspective on Brock Purdy. That's when I called a while ago. You know, obviously he has his doubters. He's kind of a victim of circumstance, right?
Yep.
He has all the great players around him, great defense. He's got a great coach. Everybody thinks it is everybody but Brock. Last night, you know, he's got a rusty Ayuk. He's got no CMC. He's got new interior pieces on the line. And he's also a victim of circumstance in terms of what certain guys can do. You know, I'm not, I told the screener, I'm not trying to prop up Brock while diminishing other guys, but, you know, Debo, he's still not a wide receiver. He's catching the ball every single time in the backfield. They know that. They can key in on that. You know, Kyle is running these designed plays. So unless people expect Brock to take that next step and just go off script, he did his job and he did it well. You know, you got that one throw to the backup tight end, whatever, you know, but he also drops the dime to Ayuk in the corner of the end zone. And I don't know what that caller was talking about earlier, because Ayuk said himself that that was a dime and he should have caught it. We were all thinking it after the contract extension. So I don't know. He's a victim of circumstance. People hate on him because of everybody else, but he's also a victim of circumstance because he has to do the play that Kyle's calling. Debo, you know, Debo cut off a couple of routes last night, or rather he didn't cut them off quick enough. Purdy put it on a dot, but because Debo can't run routes, he's rounding off at the end of his route. So those are little nuanced things where, you know, Purdy's a victim of circumstance on the other side of the spectrum. So, you know, to all the people hating on Purdy, you're wrong. He'll prove it in the long run. Nobody's over here talking about Andy Reid's a genius, but it's all Mahomes, right? Even though he's got Andy Reid calling the plays and the fastest, you know, draft prospect in 20 years and a stud running back, a stud O-line, Hall of Famers on the defense. So, you know what? You can take that elsewhere. Niners are 1-0. We're rolling. We're going back to the Super Bowl. And if Kyle nuts up, we're taking it this year. You fellas have a great day.
There you
day.
Go. You all too.
Right, Chris,
it's a great call, Chris.
It's a funny
he had
call.
You until nuts up. He had you until
well,
his Kyle nuts up.
I got a little excited
up.
In his last 15 seconds.
And he was bringing it home, though.
He's like, we're doing well. This, we're 1-0. We're going to the Super Bowl. Like, okay, hold
on.
Hit the brakes. Hit the brakes. We're going to Minnesota.
Is that where the Super Bowl is this year?
No, we're going. That's where week two is.
Gotcha.
We're going to Minnesota.
We're going to week two?
Yeah.
We're not
yeah.
ready to do week two,
no.
but we're going to week two. It's a short week now.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting ready
week.
To do week two.
Yeah, we're getting there.
You got practice, you know, like tomorrow. So, like, let's go, you know? But, okay. Even the Debo stuff, I didn't really like the Debo stuff either. Debo can't run routes.
I'd have to look at the tape to see if there was routes that he cut off. But
well, it was miscommunication sensation.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. The one that Brock threw early in the game, he threw it down the right sideline to absolutely no
one.
And
Debo had stopped.
Debo had stopped and done a turnaround, and Brock thought he was going. So it was a total miscommunication, whatever. That happens, and again, no harm, no foul, but what I hear in this conversation and what I see is that Brock Purdy will have doubters until he does what he will never be asked to do and shouldn't be. Like, seemingly what people want him to do, take a game and just go act like Josh Allen. Just go be a crazy person. Just run around like a mad person on a field. Just throwing the ball over, huck it over here, run around, dive head first, take hits, fourth and one, right up the middle into the gut of the defense. Do all that stuff. Turn it over two times, throw three touchdown passes, and win a football game 34-33. Will you be happy then? I don't think the Niners want to do that.
Well, they may get into a game where that's necessary, okay, but that's not the way this thing is built.
I mean, isn't that what was necessary in the playoffs last year? And he did it.
Yeah, he did it.
Yeah.
Like, he played great in those games.
I don't know,
when he had to.
I just, yeah. Like, you want him to do what he's never going to be asked to do and shouldn't.
Right, like, because by design, that's not what Kyle Shanahan prefers. Last night is what Kyle Shanahan wants. He wants a quarterback to go 20 for 29, make most of the throws that were there. There was a couple plays that were left out there, as always, but that was an absolute running smorgasbord from Kyle Shanahan. That's, I believe, when he's at his happiest. And when it's, hey, we're going to run it. Hey, Robert, it's your buddy Kyle.
Right.
You know what's coming, and we're still going to get five. We might get eight, and you could break it for 11.
And you win the turnover battle, which, yep, how often, right? You win the turnover battle by two, you're probably going to win that football game by double digits.
And you possess it for 39 minutes, yeah, you're, yeah, probably going to win that football game.
No doubt. All right, Willard and Dibs, 888-957-9570. Back to your calls in just a sec. But this is something that we are going to debut after 49er football games every single week throughout the year. It's a little something we call Brockster's Millions.
It's time for Brockster's Millions.
You can have $1 million right now and forget the whole thing. Or you can go for the big one, Brewster. The $300 million.
Oh, what a dime by Brock Purdy! Did Brock Purdy's value skyrocket or take a nosedive this week?
But if you fail, you don't get diddly.
Purdy, end zone, he's bit! For the latest Brock Stock Watch, here's Willard and Dibs.
I do like that. Brock Stock. Brock Stock up, Brock, yeah, Stock down. What do you think?
Brock Stock and three smoking barrels. I think we start the baseline at $60 million. For me, anyway, the Dak Prescott contract. If he's going to reset the market, he's going to have to be spectacular. Last night, I would say Brock Stock up, slightly up. If it was an indices and we were starting at $60 million, I'd put him at probably $60.4 million a year.
I mean, you could look at it one of two ways. At the start of the NFL week, which starts on Thursday night, Brock Stock was at $55
million.
True. Because that was the top of the market. Now, two things happened. A, Brock played well, scored over 30 points without Christian McCaffrey on Monday Night Football against a defense that all of you took as the number two defense in fantasy football in your draft last week. And Dak Prescott reset the market at $60 million. So I'd argue this is one hell of a week for Brock and his millions, because he wasn't spectacular, but that's not what this is about in this moment. The market went from 55 to 60, and Brock went out there and went on eight straight scoring drives against a defense that we all really, really respect. I don't know if they're actually what they're cracked up to be, but the Jets are supposed to be one of the top five defenses in the NFL this year, and it did not look that scary to the 49er offense last night. But I will reiterate the key. Without Christian McCaffrey, that's why Stock went up this particular week. Without Christian McCaffrey, right, Brock's offense still moved.
Let's see him do it without the laminated play sheet. Then I'd be really impressed.
Why? But why does he have to do that?
He doesn't.
Laminated play sheet's not going anywhere.
Well, not having Christian McCaffrey, a guy who probably would have been at least a little bit rusty, having not played at all in the preseason. Mm-hmm. This is not peak McCaffrey. And you didn't have him. So instead, you had a guy with fresh legs who ran the ball 28 times and was mostly unstoppable. So, yeah, the name was different, but the efficiency was the same. I'm looking at the number, passer rating of 89.9. Not spectacular, but it didn't have to be. QBR, which is ESPN's metric, he had the fifth best game in QBR.
There you go.
Behind only Derek Carr, Baker Mayfield, Anthony Richardson and the aforementioned Josh Allen.
And I wonder what that rating would have been if Brandon Ayuk had held onto a ball in his breadbasket.
Exactly. Probably would have been close to the top.
Top three. Yep. There's no doubt about it. So, yeah, I that's the way I kind of look at it, especially because the thought is that Christian McCaffrey is his emergency break glass guy. It's not just that he can run the ball really well, but Christian is such a factor in the pass game. Now, Mason spent a lot of work this offseason trying to learn how to catch the ball and run routes, and I know he had one really nice third down conversion, but that was it. Like, when I look at an NFL quarterback, that's what I want to look at. I want to look at how involved are your wide receivers, because that's what young quarterbacks struggle to do. If they're checking down all over the place, it's running backs, it's tight ends, it's like Isaiah Likely the other night with Lamar. But if you're able to, and this is what Jaden Daniels needs to do next, like he had a really nice opener, but his wide receivers were almost not involved at all. Go through the 49er receiving chart.
George, 12 catches.
George Kittle had two. I'm sorry, had four. Kyle Juszczyk had two. And Jordan Mason had one. His wide receivers caught 12 of his 19.
12 of the 19.
Completions. That's somebody who is extending the pushing the ball downfield a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he only threw for 231, but that's about all you needed to throw for because he had a lot of drives that were set up by great runs, and you had J.P. Mason, who was dominant and in rhythm, and the offensive line was in rhythm, and you were able to run it so effectively that you didn't have to have Brock Purdy throw it that much. And so, for me, it's not a diss to just point out the quarterback rating or the fact that he didn't throw a touchdown pass. He didn't have to, and your offense and your team was still that dominant.
I agree with you completely. Yeah, it's not like a right home about it type of a game, but stock up for me just on that baseline. He played without Christian McCaffrey, and they scored 32 points.
That's it. Yeah. I mean, that really is the headline, the big takeaway. Yep. And the rest of it is, you know, win the game and win the turnover battle. Those are the two things that he has to do if he wants to have his millions continue to go up.
Mike in New Jersey next up. Doc Feely on Christian McCaffrey in 5 minutes. Hey, Mike, you're on with Willard and Dibs. What's up?
What's up, guys? Can you hear me good? All right.
Gotcha.
All right. I just wanted to clarify one thing. The other day, I was in the chat. I was the one that said Super Bowl or bust. And you were like, no, you know, Super Bowl or bust up the whole thing. Just to clarify, I didn't mean that. Like, I didn't mean Super Bowl or bust, blow everything up. What I mean is, see how we looked last night with everything that we had without McCaffrey? This team, it's Super Bowl to me or failure because we're good. We're championship-level team.
Mike, I don't disagree with that. And that's why I choose to use a different word. It's just not catchy. I know everyone wants to do Super Bowl or bust. Super Bowl or like super disappointed.
Failure is what Mike said. I like it. With the sirens in the background. That's fine. He kept it real.
Yeah, well, he's in New Jersey right now.
Yeah, no doubt he's in New Jersey.
I think there are sirens in all streets in New Jersey at all times.
But no doubt.
Yeah, like, sure, you can. That's fine. Yes.
And I do think that last night cements Mike's opinion into many people's minds, like, you are the best team in football.
Right.
And if that's what you put out as a product, you should be playing in February.
Okay, but there's always always context. You know what I mean? Did Packer fans have Super Bowl hopes this year, coming into the year?
They probably still do.
Okay.
It's just an MCL Jordan Love.
If it's a quarter of the season.
Yeah.
And you're already 0-1. Sure.
The backup gets paid, too.
Not much.
We'll see how Malik can do.
Niners starter didn't get paid much. But you know what I'm saying? Like, what is the story of the journey? That's all. That's all I'm saying. We got to see, you know, 2 years ago when they didn't go to the Super Bowl. Was that a failure? When Brock's arm fell off? Was that a failure?
Yeah.
See, I'd argue no. They're on their fourth quarterback by the end of the year. It was insane that they made it that far.
Well, everybody thought that they had the better team than the Eagles that day.
Not everybody. Not everybody. I don't even remember who was favored in that game.
The Eagles. It was in Philly.
So not everybody thought that they were going to win. They were supposed to lose. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Your calls are going to be welcome all the way until 6 o'clock, so keep them coming, 888-957-9570. But Doc Feely jumps in here next with a little bit of a let's hang out for a few minutes and talk about this Christian McCaffrey situation, because you also need to hear what Kyle Shanahan said about it on the conference call earlier today. All of that is coming up next on Willard and Dibbs.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.